Congress is expected to pass a $1 trillion infrastructure bill in the next month, and this could mean big changes for the cryptocurrency industry. Lawmakers are trying to catch up to what's now big business and regulate it. But as Aditi Bunlamudi from member station KQED explains, understanding the technology is complicated.
I'll be honest with you. I went looking for analogies to explain the difference between a centralized platform and a decentralized platform in cryptocurrency banking. But really, to say it most simply, well, I'll just let Brinley Lear say it.
Is there a party in the middle really helping the transaction move, or is it just code?
Lear is general counsel for a decentralized cryptocurrency company called C-Labs, which creates the code behind a cryptocurrency token called Celo. Centralized platforms like Venmo or Coinbase serve as the go-between in a transaction. They monitor and retain information on what sales take place on their platforms. To make sure you're following their rules, you have to submit all kinds of information, from your birthday to the last four digits of your social security number. A decentralized platform like Uniswap or PancakeSwap is different. You don't have to input as much information to trade crypto coins. It's just code provided by the company.
There's no organization. There's no institution. There is no party there. There's no there.
Congress's infrastructure bill contains proposed language that would require cryptocurrency brokers to turn over information on transactions similar to what you have on a 1099 form, which is what companies and individuals in the U.S. use to report earnings outside of salaries and tips. Now, if you're a centralized platform, no problem. But if you're a decentralized platform, you'd have to switch from decentralized to centralized. Naturally, there's a lot of consternation in the industry.
We need well-crafted regulations, not regulations that would send the entire industry offshore.
California Democratic Congressman Ro Khanna is in favor of taxing cryptocurrency transactions, but he acknowledges the current language in the proposed bill is too broad and doesn't actually work for decentralized platforms.
A neutral regulation in terms of the industry that doesn't favor one company and also one that isn't overreaching would be a good start.
Khanna says he's confident he and other tech-savvy lawmakers will be able to help massage the language as Congress and the Senate continue to negotiate the deals of the infrastructure bill. But one way or another, officials from the U.S. Department of Treasury say taxation is coming for cryptocurrency. And what about regulation? It's no secret that some people who have dabbled in this space have faced all kinds of shady activity, from Ponzi schemes to data hacks. Let's start with one example of financial malfeasance, a case from 2018. DJ Khaled and Floyd Mayweather. They promoted initial coin offerings, also called ICOs. They're basically a way of fundraising for a startup. If you buy an ICO, you'll be given a token, which usually represents a stake in that company. Khaled and Mayweather posted on social media encouraging fans to buy ICOs, but they didn't mention they were paid to advertise those ICOs, and they promised the value of the ICOs would go up. DJ Khaled and Floyd Mayweather were eventually fined more than $760,000, and the company fronting those ICOs, Centra Tech, was indicted on wire and securities fraud.
The cryptocurrency industry is regulated. The actual debate among regulators and market participants is how well is regulated.
Simona Mola is a senior manager at economics consulting firm Cornerstone Research. She also used to work for the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. She says the SEC regulates the industry with two goals in mind.
Protect investor while facilitating capital formation. So it's a balancing act.
Mola and others will tell you the system worked as it should have to prevent DJ Khaled and Floyd Mayweather from committing fraud. Their case came shortly after the SEC decided ICOs acted like securities and therefore had to follow the same rules. The SEC has even recently created a standalone office called the Strategic Hub for Innovation and Financial Technology. But there are critics who argue the government is playing a giant game of catch-up.
Well, I look back to the history of regulation and financial markets. All regulation was post facto.
Dave Jevons is the CEO of CipherTrace, which works with crypto companies and government agencies to craft regulations.
Something bad happened, and then regulators came in or regulatory bodies were created to help protect consumers or institutions of things that happened.
He says there's a long history of underfunded, overworked, behind-the-times regulators operating a complaint-driven system. Something horrendous happens, makes the headlines, and then they move. But there's another dynamic at play, says Jevons. The cryptocurrency industry is exploding with technological innovations, and many regulators are wary of establishing complicated rules before they understand what's going on.
The bad news about that approach is sometimes bad things will happen, but that's going to happen anyway. Banks get hacked too.
Except that if a bank gets hacked, it's backed by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, or the FDIC, and some of your money is protected. That's not necessarily the case when it comes to crypto. So what's next? Taxation, for one thing. There's language on that in the infrastructure bill moving in Washington, D.C. The chairman of the SEC is calling for Congress to give regulators more authority to oversee new entities, and there might even be yet another cryptocurrency coming, issued by none other than the federal government. For Here and Now, I'm Aditi Bandlamudi.